We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time of the week, our weekly conversation with an issue that is confronting the body of Christ, and we want to give you an opportunity to understand how the Bible deals with each of these issues, helping us to then have the proper Christian walk in our life as we await the rapture of the church. David James is back in the United States at least for a couple of days before he takes off for someplace else in the world. And David, this week, I want to continue. We've talked about Pope Francis, and he's back in the news again this week across the internet, including even on the Huffington Post website, this time as he encouraged priests to turn to exorcist when necessary. Talk to me about this.
Right. Well, the title of the Huffington Post article is Pope Francis Urges Priests to Call Out the Exorcist. It turns out that in a discussion that Pope Francis had suggested to and encouraged local priests when they are in the process of hearing a confession, that's one of the sacraments of the church, part of penance, hear confession, that they should, if they run into what appears to be what he called real spiritual disorders that are caused by supernatural forces, and then presumably referring to the devil or demons, that the priest who's hearing the confession must not hesitate to refer to exorcists. And this has actually been a focus of Pope Francis for some time. Back in 2014, he recognized the International Association of Exorcists, which is an organization of 250 priests around the world who have been prepared to conduct exorcisms by the Vatican.
David, when we hear about people trying to do exorcism, it's usually involving either one or two groups, either the Roman Catholic Church or those in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. Is that correct?
Well, that tends to be true. Of course, you run into stories of missionaries here and there running into cases of what they wonder or think that might be demonic possession, but primarily it has to do, you hear it coming out of the Catholic Church, and you know, you look on the internet, all the YouTube videos involve either a Catholic priest attempting to cast out what he believes to be demons or somebody involved with a charismatic movement. And sometimes these things get very dangerous. In fact, there have been reports both from the Catholic Church and reports from those who are in the more extreme charismatic movements that because of some of the things that they go through, some of these people that they're supposed to be helping end up dying from the exorcism process. And it kind of leaves you wondering, is our only means of dealing with demonic oppression or possession or dealing with the devil to go to the Catholic Church or extreme charismatic groups? Are the rest of us left without any means of dealing with these things?
Well, I want to get to that in just a moment, but let's take a moment now to discuss exorcism in the Catholic Church. This is something that they seem to give a lot of attention to, with lots of training, guidelines, and rituals.
Well, that's true. They have a whole process that they go through. First of all, they try to determine whether someone is actually under demonic oppression or demon-possessed. They look at a number of things. There are a number of symptoms. They say loss or lack of appetite, a cold feeling in the room where they are, unnatural body positions, speaking in languages they didn't learn, prediction of future events, levitation of events, and especially reaction toward the name of Jesus or spiritual things. And the Catholic Church actually has developed a very in-depth training process so that they actually pick out specific priests who they believe could be qualified, generally older ones, and they go through this training process. It's a very long process that they actually go through in order to supposedly deliver for someone from possession.
Let's put the biblical test to it, as we do every issue we discuss. Is there anything in the Bible that resembles the way the Catholic Church deals with demonic possession?
Well, I would have to say that there's nothing in the Bible that indicates this. First of all, one of the things that you find is that they say that not all exorcisms are exorcism are successful the first time, and it could take days, weeks, or months of constant prayer and exorcism. Well, we don't find anything like that in the Bible. Neither do we find anybody being trained how to cast out demons. Jesus simply gives the apostles authority to cast out demons, and they do that. And there was only one instance where it took more than just the apostle doing it. That was when Jesus had to step in, and that was simply where he rebuked the apostles for not having faith. In other words, they were not trusting in God for the gift to cast out demons that they had been given. So this is not a protracted event. It happens immediately. It happens under the command of somebody with that spiritual gift, and nothing in what the Catholic Church does resembles the Scriptures in any way.
Well, let's turn then to the other group that claims to cast out demons, the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. How does what they do and believe differ from the Catholic Church?
Well, first of all, even though they may go through some people who would say to be able to train or teach people to cast out demons, generally they relate it to the gift of the Spirit, and we would see this as a sign gift of the Spirit that would be along with healing, prophecy, and the ability to cast out demons. And this was gifts that Jesus gave the apostles in Matthew chapter 10. Of course, the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement believes that these spiritual gifts, these sign gifts, are still operative today. And so they would exercise what they believe are these spiritual gifts, the sign gift. And also, a lot of people, they will say that you command Satan or you bind Satan and you force a demon to leave by binding him in Jesus' name. So there are some similarities, but there are some distinct differences. And it's not just the priests, or obviously they're not priests in the charismatic movement, but they would say the average believers can do this if they have this gift.
Well, okay, let's think more about what we find in the New Testament. You mentioned the apostles were given that authority to cast out demons, Matthew chapter 10. Do we find average believers directly confronting and casting out demons, or was this more or less limited to this special group, the apostles?
Well, that's a very important question and cuts right to the heart of the issue, and that is that in the New Testament, you only see Jesus and the apostles and then the 70 that Jesus sent out, which were also appointed and given this authority. In other words, they were given direct authority by Jesus in the presence of Jesus by a direct command and a giving of this ability to cast out demons. You don't see anyone else in the Scriptures casting out demons except Jesus and the apostles. Now, you run into an issue at the end of Mark chapter 16, where just before his ascension, Jesus said that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And the charismatic movement definitely relies on this verse, but there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. First of all, the sign gifts were still in effect, and they were going to be in effect as the apostles went out. So you would expect that in those early days that the apostles went out, that they would do that. And also, these signs were as much as confirmation for the apostles that the Holy Spirit had been given as anything else. Also, we need to think about, it's not just about casting out demons or speaking in tongues. It also says they'll take up serpents or if they drink anything deadly. And I would suggest that very few charismatic who believe that these sign gifts are still operative today would be willing to be put to the test on poisonous snakes or drinking something laced with arsenic or cyanide in it. So even they realize that there must be some limitations. And then when you get into the book of Acts, there are only 9 verses that mention casting out demons, and that's spread out over a 30-year period. And this is what's important. When you get into the New Testament letters, what you find is that there's nothing said about casting out demons. These letters to the churches, nothing is said. Rather, there's a different approach that is given, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment.
You know, you were just in the Ukraine, as you know, of course. We reported when you were there. You did some broadcasts for us from there. You were teaching a course that traces signs, wonders, and miracles in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Does this give us any insight into understanding demonic activity in the past, the present, and even in the future?
Well, it definitely does, and it's also tied to dispensationalism that we talk about quite frequently. First of all, signs and wonders tend to happen in what I call bursts. There are bursts of signs and wonders that are preceded and followed by long periods of very little supernatural activity, direct signs and wonders from God, and they're frequently in the context of judgment. And also, another thing that we see is, even though that we know that in the Old Testament, the pagan worship, we know that they were worshiping demons, but you don't find any demon possession in the entire Old Testament, nor do you find anybody dealing with demons in a direct way. So it would seem that God was somehow restraining or limiting demonic activity in the Old Testament. Then when you get into the New Testament, the Son of God is on the earth, invaded the realm of the God of this world, and then you have an outburst of demonic activity where Jesus is demonstrating his judgment against Satan and his authority over the demonic world, and he gives this to the apostles. Now, one of the things that you find in the Old Testament is after you have a burst of signs and wonders and miracles, there's a tapering off period, and then you enter into a period where there are very few again, and I think that's what you find in the New Testament, because you don't find this mentioned in the instructions and the letters to the churches about dealing with spiritual matters. And then we know again in the future during the tribulation there's going to be once again an outbreak of signs, wonders, supernatural activity, and there will be demonic activity again. So it would seem that the biblical pattern is that we are probably very likely in that period of where God, perhaps the Holy Spirit, is restraining, and when the restrainer is taken out of the way, 2 Thessalonians 2, then that will set the stage for the future outbreak.
Well, as always, the bottom line question has to be, what do we find in the New Testament letters to believers concerning dealing with demonic and satanic activity?
Well, what we find in contrast to what is said about casting out demons and confronting the devil is that everything in the letters to the believers in the New Testament from Romans forward is to take a defensive stance. Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God, and this is to take a defensive stance. We're not to take an aggressive stance. We know that in James, where it says that we are to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In Jude, we read that even Michael the archangel, he says in verse 9, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So we are not to confront Satan directly. And the way that we deal with demonic activity in the life of someone who is not a believer is to share the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit has the power to give them clarity of thought, to hear, understand, and believe the gospel, and we cannot be possessed by the Holy Spirit and possessed by a demon at the same time. That is the solution.
And that is the Word of God. David, excellent, excellent conversation on a very important issue, especially for the body of Christ today. Thank you so much for all of your research and interacting with us here on Prophecy Today. We'll have another issue to discuss next week. Looking forward to that.
Thanks, Jimmy.